It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. About a year ago, I interviewed John Locke about his book, The Lost Region, Toward a Revival of Midwestern History. But that book wasn't just a book. It's part of a quest to revitalize the study of Midwestern history. And John Locke has created a new organization. It's called the Midwestern History Association, a new journal, the Middle West Review. And he's here in Iowa City today to speak at Kirkwood Community College. He's also here in the studio with me today. Hello, John.
Hello, Charity. Thank you for having me back. Yeah. This is an exciting moment for Midwestern history, so I'm happy to talk about it.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And first of all, now, I admit that I live in a little bit of a public radio bubble, and everyone who writes a book about Midwestern history sends it to me. So I spend a lot of time thinking about Midwestern history and doing interviews about Midwestern history. But what is the lack? What is the danger that you've identified?
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're engaged on this front, and thank you again for all you do to promote the field and promote thinking about the Midwest, because this is very important for places like Iowa to be platforms for this sort of discussion. But even though there are some books that come out from time to time that you talk about, the field of Midwestern history as an organized academic field is in a sorry state. And there was a day when it was a much more vibrant, robust field. And the University of Iowa played a major role in starting the and launching the field of Midwestern history back in the early 20th century. You may have walked past the library here at the University of Iowa and noticed Shambaugh Auditorium. Well, that's named for Benjamin Shambaugh, who was an Iowa farm boy who ended up here at the University of Iowa and ended up launching something called the Mississippi Valley Historical Association, which was specifically focused on the Midwest and its history. And it was a very successful organization for many years, and many Iowans contributed to it. But in the 1960s, a bad decision was made, I think, to turn it into a national organization, and it began to focus on the country as a whole, and the focus on the Midwest began to drop out. And its journal, which was previously focused on the Midwest, also became a national journal. Now, there were a few other journals in the mid to late 20th century which focused on the Midwest, five or six that I could rattle off for you here, but they all died. And that's why we began to have this discussion a couple of years ago about what we could do to revive this moribund field, because there's a major audience for this type of work, as you know, because you're on the front lines of hearing from Iowans and people in the Midwest about their interest in these topics. And I think there's just a natural human hunger to understand their roots and their place and where they are. And I think this is especially strong in Iowa. University of Iowa used to be a very active center for what they called regionalist thought, or focusing on the region and its importance and explaining it to the broader world. And I think the Iowa Writers Workshop came out of this mood. Grant Wood certainly symbolized this kind of thinking. And there was a man who's now long forgotten by the name of John T. Frederick, who was, again, an Iowa farm boy who came to the University of Iowa. And he noticed there wasn't much focus on Midwestern writing, so he launched a journal in 1915 called The Midland. And it was here at the University of Iowa for a couple of decades and then was ultimately killed off by the Great Depression. But so there is this history, there is this precedent that we can draw on for this revival.
Well, and we've had remarkable Iowa historians at Iowa State University as well, and all over the state of Iowa. Do you feel like, I'm sure there are some people who hear what you're saying and think, but if it's an interesting story to tell or an important story to tell, it's going to get told. So do you feel like when historical research is not focused on the region that somehow the Midwest gets ignored?
Well, here's one of the problems I've encountered personally, and I've seen this happen to other historians too, that they may be aware of a good story. They may find a good story in the archives, and they may think this is a story that needs to be told. But the next step you take as an author, scholar, researcher, historian is to think, well, if I do the work on this project, who is going to publish it? What is going to be the appropriate venue? And unfortunately, so many of our journals and history associations are focused on other areas. So myself and some others thought one of the most critical steps we could take would be to create some scholarly platforms for this discussion. And so a couple of years ago in Wisconsin, this would have been late 2017, we formed the Midwestern History Working Group. And we had some conferences and conference panels, et cetera. Ultimately, about 3 or 4 months ago, we voted to change this into a much more active Midwestern History Association, the MHA. And we have organized a major conference for next month in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which will be the first major history conference to focus on the Midwest in I don't know how long. I don't know of any other thing, any other event like this. And we hope it will lead to a book of essays making the case for the study of the Midwest. We also have a website for our new organization, MidwesternHistory.com. And we also are working in conjunction with some other folks on the launch of a new journal called Middle West Review, which is a place that people can send articles that they write about the region. Because right now there is no prior to a few months ago, there was no place to send these. And often when you would send regionally focused articles to state history journals, they would want you to rewrite it to focus on one state. And of course, we want people to think about the region as a whole.
And not just South Dakota or Iowa or Missouri. You mentioned opportunities for publishing. And now a journal is an important part of that. But when I think back in the history here in Iowa, we've lost a lot of our university presses. University of Iowa Press is very strong, and they have absorbed much of what was great about Iowa State University Press. But a lot of universities around the Midwest and around the country have lost their university presses. Is this part of this problem, that people just didn't have a place to turn to publish what they were researching?
Absolutely. I think you're an Iowa State University grad, if I remember correctly. And Iowa State University used to have a university press, Iowa State University Press, and they were focused on many regional publications, but that was shut down. Also, University of South Dakota Press used to exist, and that was shut down. And so you lost two major venues for the publication of regionally oriented books. University of Missouri Press, you may remember about a year ago, it was announced that the University of Missouri Press, major press, was being shut down by the university. And there was such a firestorm of protest, they ultimately reversed that decision and the press was saved. So that's good news. But yes, the university presses have suffered a great deal, along with other institutions affiliated with academia. But one of the great bright shining stars, to use General Grant's great phrase about Iowa in the 19th century, one of the great bright shining stars in this universe of university presses is the University of Iowa Press. And I have to, we have to acknowledge the leadership role that they have taken in this effort to revive Midwestern history. 2 or 3 years ago, they launched a series focused on Midwestern history. It's called Iowa and the Midwest Experience. And my book, The Lost Region, was one of the first books in that series, and I'm very proud to be associated with it. And they really deserve a lot of credit for what they're doing.
So on your quest, I mean, we've talked about this organization. We've talked about the Common Ground Summit coming up in Grand Rapids in right at the end of April, the beginning of May. What are your other goals? What's on your list?
Well, in a perfect world, Charity, I think we would see, at a minimum, the Big Ten institutions in the Midwest begin to take seriously the teaching of Midwestern history. because I think it's safe to say this is not a priority at Big Ten universities. One of my favorite examples of this is the University of Minnesota, which is a huge institution, has a grand total of zero people teaching Minnesota or Midwestern history. By comparison, the University of Georgia has 10 people who teach the history of the South or Georgia. Regional identity and regional history is stronger in the South for a lot of complicated cultural reasons. But I think it's clear that Big Ten universities aren't doing a very good job at this. And University of Minnesota has 50 or 60 historians. I think one of those people should teach at least one class on the history of the Midwest once a year. And if that was true at Ohio State and Indiana and Iowa, I love the University of Iowa. I earned my PhD here, and I'm very loyal to Iowa and love the Hawkeyes and everything, but they need to beef up what they're doing in terms of teaching Midwestern history, because it's kind of fallen by the wayside in recent years.
And you're actually meeting with departments at all of these universities or trying to get their ear?
Well, we haven't gotten to that point yet, but we've put out some feelers. I met some people at the University of Iowa here today to talk a little bit about this and the state of affairs. But down the road, we're going to have some more formal proposals and at least get this on the agenda, get provosts and deans of academic affairs thinking about it. Because I think the response to my book, The Lost Region, has been very strong. And this new organization, the Midwestern History Association, already has 550 members, which I think it's surprising to me. I thought there might be 100 people, 150 people who would join who would be interested in this. But so I think there's an audience for it. And I think a lot of young 19-year-old Midwesterners who go off to Indiana University or University of Iowa or wherever, I think they're interested in knowing about their place, about their state, about what their roots are, about and having a better context for all these other topics they're studying. People need to know what they're about first. They need to understand their identity first before they can understand the world.
Is this a problem that begins before college? I mean, is this a lack that we have in our history studies in high school and junior high?
Without question. I don't need to repeat for you some of the more disturbing reports about the lack of historical knowledge by students. But there was a report that came out a week or two ago that found that 70% of students didn't know what century the Constitution was adopted in, and they can't place the Civil War in the 19th century and that sort of thing. I mean, that's sort of funny on a superficial level, but it's also sort of deeply depressing. And it has a major impact on civics and how our government functions and people's lack of understanding of the basic mechanics of American government.
Now, you're working on a second book right now, right?
I would like to do another book on this issue of Midwestern history and how we lost our way and the steps that we can take to revive the field.
Since you started talking about this, and you mentioned how many more people have joined your organization than you really thought, the Midwestern History Association. Are you feeling optimistic? Do you feel like you're gaining momentum?
I think so. The reception has been very good, and we are getting more and more requests from people to have some seminars or some speeches, or people are interested in hosting conferences. We may be organizing something for the Newberry Library down the road. Newberry Library is a major institution in Chicago, which used to have a program where they would fund Midwestern Studies fellowships, and they would offer a dozen of these a year. Unfortunately, that died out in the 1950s, but that's the sort of institutional support that is needed for this field to flourish. And if we could revive some of those activities, I think there's a very bright future for the field.
And looking ahead to your very first conference, which is taking place this spring, what kinds of things will you be focusing on?
Well, in mid to late April at the Howenstein Center at Grand Valley State University in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're going to have our first major conference about reviving Midwestern history. I think the title is Finding the Lost Region. And we have 12 or so experts coming in to talk about various components of Midwestern history. And we hope it will ultimately become a book. And we have some other interesting speakers there, too. We have representatives from the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Chicago Tribune to talk about their frustration with stories that they write about things that happen in the Midwest but don't get picked up nationally, and the sort of heavy coastal focus of our mass media. And so that'll be an interesting perspective, too. But it's a very similar problem to what goes on in the historical field. So ultimately, we hope that will produce a book about the new Midwestern history and the effort to revive it. And we hope it will spark greater interest and hopefully some more books and dissertations and other activity down the road.
Well, as you continue on this journey, I hope that we check in a few more times and see how things are developing. Is there one accomplishment that you can point to so far that you are surprised that you were able to achieve so quickly?
Well, I think the quick ascension of the Midwestern History Association is the best example of that, because when we formed the Midwestern History Working Group in Wisconsin, in a little Wisconsin bar in Hudson, Wisconsin, in the fall of 2013, we thought this would just be a very informal group that maybe chatted a few times a year. But it has really taken off very quickly. And so we're very excited about that. And that was sort of, we didn't really predict that.
All right. Well, John Locke, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Charity.
I know you have a speech to give in 15 minutes. So
yes, we're on our way over to Kirkwood Community College in Iowa City, and we are going to be talking about reviving Midwestern history.
Well, wonderful. And the website is midwesternhistory.com. You can find out about upcoming events. John Locke is my guest. He is the author of The Lost Region, Toward a Revival of Midwestern History. And Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Claire Roth, Emily Woodbury, and Julia Davis. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, it's Horticulture Day. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.